Pastor, why are you acting selfish? No, you have to understand something. I realize, not completely, but I realize that I'm saved and redeemed and I'm on my way to heaven. I realize I have freedom. I realize that my future is absolutely phenomenal and nothing can stop it. Can you say amen? Amen. God's so good. And that's why I laugh, and that's why I want you to laugh, and that's why I want you to enjoy everything you have. At the end of the service, don't forget, we have an old-fashioned treat. I was talking to Dr. Johnny Minnick the other day, and he said, you remember when we were kids and they used to have a treat on the Sunday before Christmas? And I said, yeah, I remember. We have them still. So they'll be at the doors. There will be people standing there. Just before we go into the Word this morning, Daniel, where are you at? I saw you come in. Daniel, he's here. As I saw him, if I could say your last name, Daniel, and I will, I'm your pastor. There's Daniel. Come up here, Daniel. Stand right here in front. You didn't get to be here last week when we welcomed new members, and it's very important that we do. How do you say
Weisskirch?
No wonder I couldn't say it. So you spell my last name right, and I'll pronounce yours right, okay? C-O-N, no, I'm just kidding you. I'm a K. Daniel Weisskirch. This certificate of membership certifies that Daniel Weisskirch has publicly confessed Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and has been received into full membership of the Sanctuary of Hope, Branson, Missouri, on the 20th day of December in the year of our Lord 2020. It's signed by me. And let me come right down here, and we've got a little gift for you. I want you all to stand in honor because we have a new family member here. He's been in the church for a long time, but I want you to stretch your hands this way. Father God, we thank you for Daniel. We thank you for his commitment to you. And God, we come as a family and surround ourselves with him right now, saying that this is your home. This is your pastors. These are your family. And this is a place where you can come and be part of and involve yourself in. So, Lord, I just praise you for his life. I ask you to bless him and strengthen him and let the power of the Holy Spirit guide him all the days of his life as he helps us, Lord, as we grow this great family in the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Welcome, son. Amen. Welcome, 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 welcome. Oh, yeah, you ain't kidding. Yeah, no kidding. Praise God. Now, I heard a rumor that Patty's here. Patty, I see Loretta back there. Praise God. Patty, are you here? Where? Oh, my goodness. Now, if you don't know Patty's story, does anyone know what a halo is that angels don't wear? Let me just tell you. She had an injury. And that big thing was on her for a long time. Patty, we love you, and we're so glad you're here. Praise God. Stand up, soldier. Turn around and salute your church. This is our young people. Our young people grow up and become great, great things. And when he's the general over Fort Leonard Wood, I'm going to go down and eat lunch with you, okay? I'm kidding you. Isn't it good to have the family here? If I miss you, it's just because that's me. Forgive me, but I'm glad. And we recognize visitors, I'm sure. We want to make sure that you know how appreciative we are for you being here and online, if it's your first time or regulars. This morning is a wonderful time. This is Christmas 2020. Unlike any Christmas we've ever had in this generation or generations prior. It hasn't changed in the scope. This is when Christ was born. This is when we celebrate it. The day, the time, the particular, it doesn't matter. Fact is, we celebrate the birth of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Messiah, Yeshua. Somebody say amen. Amen. And I'm so glad this morning, on this Christmas morning, that my dear friend and member of this church and ordained of this church, preacher of God and a great attorney, Hunter Lundy from Lake Charles. He's a long-distance member, but he's a member. is here to bring us a word. Would you welcome Hunter as he comes this morning?
Thank you, Pastor.
Welcome.
Well, I didn't bring this up here to wear it or anything, but I didn't get the memo that we were supposed to wear Christmas colors this morning. So, but thank God I was in the green room praying. And when the pastor and Ruth's granddaughter came up to me, and so she didn't pull my tie. Get an echo now. Anyway, she said, "Well, you have a red tie on," and then she says, "Well, then there's some red stripes here," and I said, "Well, that's all the Christmas colors I have." And then a few minutes later, I see her. She's digging in my coat pocket, and she pulls this out, and she says, "There's red on this scarf," and I said, "Well, those Conley family members are their searchers, and those Snyders are too." And so I got a kick out of it. This morning I want to talk about, we're here on the Sunday, on the eve of Christmas. And so often in life you hear messages where we're talking about, Mary and Joseph, the baby Jesus, and we're talking about the scene and what all took place. I'm accused of having a big mouth. I can put the mic down, too. But anyway, we all know the story that the angel appeared to Mary. And so, and if you want to go back in history, it didn't matter whether or not you were in the Mesopotamia, the Babylonia, the Persian, or even the Roman Empire. The Jew really had a sacred marriage. And The female's family always brought a dowry, and the male's family made a big gift. And this was centuries even before Christ. This is what the way the Jews approached marriage. And generally it was after the young lady reached adulthood, which was 13 to 14 years of age, that she was chosen to partner with a family member from the opposite sex, and the family put them together, and the marriage was, and there was a betrothal or a year-long engagement period, and where they planned the wedding. And it was really no different for Joseph and Mary. You know, Mary was, we believe, 14 years of age. Joseph, we believe, was in his late 20s or early 30s. He was a lot older. The families had put them together, and that They were getting married, and the angel appeared to Mary and told her that she was going to give birth to the Messiah, and that the Holy Spirit would come upon her and she would conceive from the Lord. And we know, as the story went on, she went to see her cousin Elizabeth, who was pregnant for John the Baptist. And the Bible tells us that John the Baptist, jumped in the womb of Elizabeth when Mary came in and was present with the Lord in her stomach. We know these stories, and we keep going forward and forward and tell the story about how there was a census going on, and Joseph was from the lineage of David, and he had to go to the city of David, of Bethlehem, for the census purpose. But Mary was 9 months pregnant. She had conceived by the presence of the Holy Spirit overshadowing her. Joseph had to have an angel appear to him and straighten him out. He had an attitude problem, but I guess any man in this room would have an attitude problem if they were told that their wife-to-be, who had not slept with them yet, was pregnant. But God had to set Joseph straight, and Joseph came alongside Mary, and they went to Bethlehem. And they stayed The story goes on, they couldn't get a room in the inn, and they stayed in a manger. Some say it's a cave. Some say it's a little wall. There's many different descriptions as to what that premises was where Mary and Joseph stayed that night. We also know the story of the shepherds and the angelic team appearing to them, and the praise to glory on high, and the fact that they sought out the Messiah. And so this is kind of the background. And today I want to talk about Simeon. We're going to go to Luke chapter 2. And last night, Mark Mathis and I had a little debate how we would call him. You know, down in southwest Louisiana, we might say Simo. The name was Simo. Some might say Simon. But it's S-I-M-E-O-N. It's Simeon is the way it would properly be pronounced. But before that, I want to share one story with you. Because of the storms that occurred in southwest Louisiana in August, September, and in October, you know, there's still thousands of people that do not have roofs, that are still living under tarps, and there's still a lot of problems. And so I've been blessed to be able to try to help some churches. And this week, the pastor of the First Pentecostal Church of Starks, Louisiana, came in, and so he needs representation. And I have to reassure these pastors that just because your insurance is entitled Church Mutual or Guide One or the Mutual of the Brotherhood, don't think they're not still in the world and play the same game the rest of them do. Don't be fooled, because Church Mutual is denying coverage wrongfully. So the pleasure of my job is getting to talk about Jesus with so many people. And so this pastor was asking me about my background, and I told him, yeah, I grew up in the Southern Baptist Church. He said, well, I grew up, my mom was a Methodist, and my dad was a Baptist. He said, years ago, I went into a Pentecostal church chasing a girl. He said, that's the reason most of us went. He says, I went to a Pentecostal church, and he says, eventually, I got the girl. But more important than that, he said, I had an experience with the Holy Ghost. And he said, when the Holy Ghost fell on me and I started speaking in tongues, he says, I could not get my English back for 2 days. I spoke in an unknown language for 2 days and could not come back. And so I knew that the power of God was so real in this man's life. And I had only heard that story one other time. And this was from a gentleman named Pastor Tony, an Indian from India, who is a great evangelist. And he was a teenager when he received the power of the Holy Spirit and the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And he said he could not get his native tongue back for 14 days. He traveled on trains with an evangelist and he couldn't speak the native English. So I'm sharing that with you because the Holy Ghost is real. And Simeon had received the power of the Holy Ghost before he ever walked into the temple where he saw the Messiah. But let's read first from Leviticus. I'm going to give you some history. Let's go back to Leviticus chapter 12. And of course, Mary and Joseph knew the law. You know, she was a woman of faith. She knew the law. She was a believer. She accepted what the angel had told her, and the Holy Spirit had conceived and come on her, and she had conceived the body of Jesus. But she was, she gave birth in the manger. And let's look what the ritual was of the Jew at the time. Chapter 12 of Leviticus, it says, the Lord spoke to Moses saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, if a woman has conceived and born a male child, then she shall be unclean 7 days, as in the days of her customary impurity, she shall be unclean. On the eighth day, the child, if it's male, shall be circumcised. Then she shall then continue in the blood of her purification 33 days. And at that time, and I'm just giving it to you in brief, then she has to go to the temple. And then she has to give a blessing. And if you go down to verse 6 on chapter 12, when the days of the purification are fulfilled, so this is on the 40th day, whether for a son or a daughter, she shall bring to the priest a lamb of the first year of a burnt offering and a young pigeon or turtle dove as a sin offering to the door of the tabernacle of meeting. And then if you skip down to verse 8 of chapter 12, it says, and if she is not able to bring a lamb, then she may bring two turtle doves or two young pigeons, one as a burnt offering and the other as a sin offering. So the priest shall make atonement for her and she will be clean. So this is the background that I'm going to read the scripture out of Luke to you in a minute, because she, Joseph and Mary, on the 40th day, Jesus was circumcised on the 8th day. On the 40th day, they took Jesus to the temple. So they left Bethlehem and they went to Jerusalem and they went to the temple. And then there was a gentleman there at the temple. Now I'm going to read you the scripture from Luke, and then I'm going to walk through you some points that God's revealed to me as very important points that we should think about today when you hear this message. Yes, we're celebrating joy to the world. And you've heard the old acronym, joy means Jesus over you. Jesus, it's all about him. And the birth that we're talking about is about the Savior of the world. And so, God, if you turn to Luke chapter 2, let's start with verse 21. And when 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Now when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses, we just read it in Leviticus, were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. So the scripture today that I'm really focusing on starts at 25, Luke 2, 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. So the Holy Ghost had already come upon Simeon. And he just didn't happen to be in the temple when Joseph and Mary came in with Jesus. Let's go back to Isaiah for just a second. The Bible says the consolation of Israel. So what does that mean? If you go to Isaiah chapter 40, it says God's people are comforted. Simeon was a man of God. Simeon knew the word of God. Simeon was a man of faith. Simeon is a guy that precedes the day of Pentecost, but yet he had the power of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost, we know throughout the Bible, those that the Spirit of God came upon, David, Saul, Samson, Gideon, we can go down the list. But here's another one. The Spirit of God had come on Simeon before this day, before the birth of Jesus. And the word in Isaiah said, comfort, yes, comfort my God. My people, says your God, speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. And the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. This message of comfort. You know, the scholars, which I'm not pretending to be one, will tell you that Isaiah chapter 1 through 39 is about the nation, about the judgment, about the actions of the Jews and how Isaiah the prophet was speaking to them. But when you get to chapter 40, that's the beginning of the prophetic word of Isaiah. He is telling them what's going to happen and who's coming. You know, there's no greater book in the Bible than chapter 53 of Isaiah. I mean, it prophesies everything that happened at the cross and what Jesus did and why he came and what he came for. But this is the first book of Isaiah where it's starting the prophecy. So Simeon knows the word. He's looking for the comforter. And God had spoken to him that he would see the Messiah in his life. And so we go back to chapter 2 of Luke. And I stopped after the fragment that says consolation of Israel and the Holy Spirit was upon him. The next scripture, 26, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, this is the purification, this is the blessing that they had to give to the temple on the 40th day. And how about that, the 40th day? I mean, days are so important to God. And boy, that 40th day was important to God. You know, Jesus fasted for 40 days. Let's go down the list of what happened. He ascended to heaven on the 40th day. The process that the Jews had to follow was the purification on the 40th day after childbirth. So days are so important to God. And, you know, we go through this walk in life and we're each day we get a little bit more. We get a little bit more. We understand there's so many mysteries that we really don't understand, but one day we'll have them all. Because we're walking to have the mind of Christ every day, more and more. One day we will have the mind of Christ, and I'm looking forward to that day. How many of y'all are looking forward to that day? So, Simeon. So he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, when it says to do for him, they're talking about to do for Jesus. According to the custom of law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, and before I read the next line. Now, how many of you moms would walk into church with a 40-day-old baby and let some stranger come take him out of your hands? I bet you'd be like taking a bone from a bulldog. I mean, so think how God is in the middle of all of this. You got a 14-year-old guy, a woman, and a 20-something or 30-something-year-old man, and they got this baby. Now, she knows she's given birth to the Messiah. She knows that things are so different. She's still wrestling with the world in her mind, but in her heart, she knows she's been called to do something because she is a human being. She is not divine. You know, there is a certain denomination that really doesn't like the song, Mary, Did You Know? And it's simply because one verse, one little fragment in it, the one that you delivered will one day deliver you. They don't like it. But we know the truth. There ain't but one sinless man that ever walked the earth, and his name is Jesus. And he was the perfect lamb. He was the perfect sacrifice. And as we go down this scripture a little bit further, I'm going to tell you that the family that came, Mary and Joseph, they were not wealthy people. They were ordinary people. This whole message today is about ordinary people. God uses ordinary people to do what he's called for the miraculous kingdom. He used Simeon, an ordinary guy, doesn't say he was smart, doesn't say he was educated, said he was devout. He was a devout believer. He knew the word of God. He had faith. He loved the Lord. He had the Spirit of God upon him, led him to the temple, and he was there waiting when the Messiah showed up. So as we keep going through the scripture, he picks up the baby. Simeon picks up the baby Jesus. He says, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace." You know what? He knew God kept his promises. He knew this was the fulfillment of promise that God had given him. It said, "According to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all people, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." And Joseph and his mother marveled. I mean, I guess they did. You know, the bulldog didn't bite him when he took the baby out of her hands. And Joseph stood there, the husband of Mary, and watched it all. And they went there thinking that they were just given what we would just call a tithe or an offering. They went there thinking they were making the offering to the temple that the law required them to do, that Leviticus said they had to do after this child was born. But then all of a sudden, Simeon steps into the picture. Then Simeon blessed them, and he said to Mary his mother, "Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also." I mean, this is tough words. "That the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." And so often we talk about the Christmas story. We talk about the birth of Jesus. We talk about Mary and Joseph. We talk about the shepherds. But this morning I felt led by the Lord to talk about Simeon. He's part of it. And these are the notes. That I made. So what do we learn as a group of believers this morning from the story of Simeon? Number one, hope never waned or faded from Simeon's heart. Never. He had faith. He believed. He was told. He was promised. And right up to the day that it happened, he never stopped. And the Holy Ghost said, "Go," and he went. He trusted God to do what he had promised us to do. My, wouldn't we have a different world if us in this room and professed believers in this world would trust God to do what he says he's going to do? So I got blessed when I listened to this prophetic word from this Pastor Christensen in Nashville. And I mean, I still have some deliverance that needs to be done in my body and in my mind. It's called politics. It needs to be removed. You know, once you get a taste of it, you know, it's always hacking at you. And so this guy spoke a powerful word. I told Pastor Sam this morning, I also got another client of mine who's a devout Pentecostal who owns probably the most famous restaurant in South Louisiana. It started in Henderson, called Pats of Henderson, and now, and Nick is on fire for the God, and he sent me Vesta Mangum's sermon that she preached in 1999 to a bunch of preachers. Now, if y'all can go find that on YouTube and listen to it, it will make you rise up. And so, Sam said she could sing like Vesta Goodman, but she was her husband pastored this church in Alexandria, Louisiana. She's a legend. I'd never heard her preach till I heard this message, and she did. But that's who we all should be. This message of Jesus is about the birth, the death, the resurrection, the fall of the Holy Ghost, and what we do with the gospel. That's the whole message, is what are we going to do with it? And what are we doing with it? Simeon lived, knew God kept his promise, so he went to the temple and he spoke into the life of Mary and Joseph, and the things that he said were right from God. Everything happens on God's schedule. That's number two on my list. Y'all have heard Pastor Sam preach that many times, that the timing of God so often is more important than the event itself. And so it happens on his schedule. And boy, we go through some struggles. We go through some sorrows. We go through some stuff. But we got to count it all a blessing because it's part of the process. Because Simeon was telling her, this is what's coming. You birthed the King Jesus. Now you're going to experience some pain. Everything happens on God's schedule, not ours. That's a hard lesson for us to take as believers. It's been a hard lesson for me. God, number three, God takes no notice of status. Only the world does. Yeah, and I told a friend on Friday, I said, you know, the world in my neck of the woods, you know, thinks that I probably cut a wide path because I've had this law firm for 35 years and practiced law for 40 and have done things that in the world's eye that they think are great achievements. But you know what? That don't mean diddly. You know, what God thinks of us is the most important thing. When I got baptized in the Holy Ghost, the most important thing to me was what my reputation was with the Father. And he takes care of all of the other stuff. And so this lesson of Simeon was that God don't care about what the world thinks or who's the world or your status in the world. He uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things. He changed history with Mary. He fulfilled the destiny, what was preordained by him before the beginning of time, if such thing exists, because I don't believe it exists. It's eternity that exists. We live in time. God has us in eternity. So what we're doing is walking through this temporal relationship and preparing for what we're going to do as the bride of Christ in eternity. This whole battle is about being overcomers. When you become born again, it starts. And I mean, it starts. And we may not like some of it, but I mean, count it all joy. Yes, Jesus over you. And so, Simeon knew that it was about God's schedule, not his. And he was an older guy, I assume. He was a devout believer, and he'd waited all his life because he'd had a promise that he would see the Messiah in his earthly lifetime. And sure enough, he goes in there, and there he is. Number three, the fact that God takes no notice of status, only the world. Simeon was nobody special to the world, but he was everything to God. He was somebody to God. What's the old motto from the old Luckenbach, Texas song? Everybody's somebody in Luckenbach. You know, you don't want me to sing it too, but I used to try. Let's go to Luckenbach, Texas with Willie and Waylon and the boys. But everybody's somebody to God. It's not about status. He knew Simeon as he knows each one of us. He knows every hair on my head. And he knows how gray it's gotten in the last year. I'm thankful that I still got some, but it wouldn't matter if I didn't. But he knows everything there is to know about us. The next point I want to make that this message teaches us, and if you, when you get time to meditate on it, I challenge you to go back and read this message. The message that came out of Simeon's mouth was that the salvation is for the world. Jesus is for the world. The message that it was for the Jew and the Gentile didn't start with Paul. It started with Jesus, and there was Simeon prophesying it right there in the temple on the 40th day of Jesus. Jesus hadn't even started his earthly ministry yet. And there's this man filled with the Holy Ghost telling him, this man is here. This message is here. God took the form of flesh, and so that he can reconcile the world to him. That means the Jew and the Gentile. And we know how much the Jews disliked the Gentiles and vice versa during this time frame. We know they disliked the Samaritans who were half-breeds. They disliked, everything. So he tells them right there in this scripture, salvation is for the world. This message of Jesus is for the Jew and the Gentile, and it started right then. The next point I wrote down was that the secret thoughts of men will be revealed. Our words and our public image, our worldly image, may cover our heart's true thoughts. But nothing is hidden from God's eyes. Nothing. So we can walk around in this world and we can pretend and we can say, I'm a great doctor, I'm a great lawyer, I'm a great preacher, I'm a great basketball coach, I'm a great this, I'm a great that. But we don't hide anything from God. You know, my dad's been dead 8 years, but I still can't remember all the things he used to say, and some of them I can't repeat at all. But one of them he used to always say, son, get your hands out of your pockets. God sees everything. He used to tell me that all the time. Get your hands out of your pockets. You know, me and my older brother, he also used to say, sons, if I could take the lead out of y'all's behind and the silver out of my hair, I'd be a rich man. He had it. They were a different generation. And it was a good generation. It believed in hard work. So I'm thankful for the years that I had with my father. But there are no secrets with God. And I can remember my mom, I guess it was 40 years ago, or 30 some odd years ago, telling me, well, Hunter, your sins will find you out. Don't think you're fooling anybody. Boy, it's sayings like that that you never forget, especially when you got scars on and burn marks on your behind from having made bad choices. So my question today, are you with God or are you with the world? Who are you with? Jesus said, we can't serve two masters. And I mean, this was being said from his birth on. I mean, Simeon was given. This is Simeon's message right there in the temple with Jesus 40 days old. You can't serve two masters. Boy, don't we know that as a nation right now? A house divided will fall. I'm believing this prophecy that this man shared from Nashville. I'm believing we're fixing to see something. We're fixing to see the revival that everybody's been talking about for years. We're fixing to see a move of God like we've never seen before. We're fixing to see people come to Christ all over this world. We're fixing to see blind eyes open. And there's many of them. And don't think the things that are happening in your life that are negative and that are disgusting and they're heartbreaking, that it's not the devil raising up, because he is. Because you know what? You know, we work from victory, not towards victory. And he knows his days are numbered. And if he can slow us down, thinking he's still thinking that he can do something against God, he's a fool. And that's why he's the devil, and that's why he will burn in hell forever. And so, but we're working from victory. Keep that in your mind as you're going through this walk. And yes, the day's coming where there'll be no more sadness, no more sorrow, no more pain. But it ain't here yet. It's not here yet. William Barclay said, it's not so much that God who judges a man, it's a man judging himself, and his judgment is his reaction to Jesus Christ. It's how we react to Jesus. So when you're confronted with his goodness and his love, do you run to him? Or do you reject it? Because if you run to it, you're going to rise up. I like that song, Rise Up. And I think that little old gal that sings it, whose daddy's a Pentecostal pastor, God's doing something in her life. She's been so full of the world for the last 5 or 6 years, it's been terrible. But that song has an anointing on it. Not that she had the anointing to write it, but God's doing something with her. And her daddy, you know, the left-wing radicals turned on her when she decided to defend her daddy, the Pentecostal pastor. They didn't want to deal with her then. That's just the way the devil works. But I just believe something's happening. So when you run after that goodness and when you run after that love and you run after that truth, God's going to raise you up. You reject it, you're going to fall. I've only got a couple more points. Y'all can have Sunday lunch early. We need Jesus to light us up. Mary's pierced heart was caused by watching her son and her Savior crucified for our sin. She was at the foot of the cross. Simeon was telling her that day, 33 and a half years from today, there's going to be some real pain and there's going to be suffering because your son, who's also your Lord, who's also your Savior, is going to go through some stuff that's going to tear your heart up. My question to you today, I know my heart is, are your hearts pierced when you're convicted by the Holy Spirit to see how we participated in the crucifixion? Our sin participated in the crucifixion. And sometimes we don't sit back and think about it. And he was telling Mary, get ready. Now we know we're forgiven. As guilty as I was, you know, for participating in the nails. Jesus said to the Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I'm almost through. So at the eve of Christmas, which we're here Sunday before Christmas, let's rejoice that what Simeon said about the light and the glory has been bestowed on us. So this song about we worship him, all the praise and worship this morning was so powerful. And it leads us right to this word. So Jesus bestowed the glory and the light on us. It began with his birth, and this is what we're celebrating, his birth. Simeon prophesied it all the way to the cross. And we know it came at the resurrection because he defeated. He went to hell. He took the keys from Satan. The legal right that Satan had to every one of us because of the sin of Adam and the sin of Eve was jerked away from him. No more legal right to us. We simply have to believe and receive. And then we are saved. We're born again. And then the battle starts. So it began with his birth and this message of Simeon. It passed through to his death, and it never ends because of his resurrection. His birth changed everything. Can you say hallelujah? Hallelujah. As old Marvin Gorman used to say, I could hear that voice. Hallelujah! He said it. And I like sometimes getting up and just mimic him and saying, glory! Because he would say it all the time. And so we get to be the glory. We get to experience the glory and the light. And we don't get it all right now. We get to taste it. We get to feel his presence. I felt his presence in the prayer room a while ago. I feel his presence right here, right now. How many feel the presence of the Lord right now? God is good. And this message of Simeon comes back to the first words I shared. He was an ordinary guy. He was not a guy of the world. He's a guy who loved God. He's a guy who trusted God. He's a guy that knew that God would fulfill his promise. He's a guy that knew the word. He's a guy that had the faith to share the word that morning at the temple, because he raised him up and he shared the word of God right out of Isaiah 40. Because here comes the comforter. He's here. There's a whole shift in the world today because Jesus Christ is born and he's alive. And here's this 40-day-old Messiah that's changing the world and is allowing us to come back. Let's pray.